My name is Alan Morse, and we're going to have a study today, and it's going to be dealing with the faith of Christ. The faith of Christ. I had a hard time when I saw that first time to understood that. Now, you need to get your Bibles out and get some pencils and paper so you can write things down. And I found this in the book of Galatians, or the letter of Galatians. So let's turn in your Bibles to Galatians. That's Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, and then Galatians. Turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, and let's look at verses 16. We're going to be talking again about the faith of Christ. And when I read this, I thought to myself, well, what is the faith of Christ? We know that our faith should be in Him, but I don't know what the faith of Christ is. Well, we're going to find out that today. It's quite interesting. So, let's look at verse 16. It says this, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not of works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. The faith of Christ. You got any idea what that means? What do you think the faith of Christ is? Well, we know we're going to be justified by it. Well, let's go on. Look at verse 20. Look at verse 20. The same chapter. Look at verse 20. We're going to look at several verses before we come with our conclusion. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, who is the Son of God? That's Jesus. The Son of God is who came, took on a body, a human body, to come down on this earth. And he had one main reason was that he was going to be he was going to die on that cross to pay the sin debt for the world. That's what he was going to do, pay the sin debt for us. But anyway, look at this. This is a little fantastic verse. He says, I am crucified with Christ. What did he mean by that? We see when we believe the gospel, is that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. And when we believe that, we believe that when he died on that cross, our old sin nature died on that cross. Now, you can read that in Romans chapter 6. You can do that on your own, but it talks about this. So when Christ died, we believe that our old sin nature died also. And when Christ rose from the dead, we believe we rose with him also. And as a whole new creature, whole new person. And then it says, yet he lived. He didn't really die. He lived, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And that's what's wonderful about the gospel. As soon as you believe the gospel for your salvation, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's Ephesians chapter 1:13. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And you have the Holy Spirit living in you. And this is just beyond our imagination. But God is living in you. Jesus is living in you. And he says, Christ liveth in me. And the life now I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of God, the Son of God. By his faith. What was his faith that caused us to live by that faith? What was his faith? Well, let's just go on. Get it in your mind now what this is, the faith of Christ. Turn the next chapter, next writing, letter is Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. Just turn over a few pages to Ephesians and go to chapter 3. And then just look at Ephesians chapter 3 and look at verses 12 and what it says. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. We have boldness and confidence because of the faith of the Lord Jesus. Man, that's getting close. I bet you folks know what the faith of Christ is. Let's just go over one more verse. Let's go over to Philippians, Ephesians, and then the next chapter, or the next book, or the next letter is Philippians. And let's look at chapter 3. Let's look at chapter 3 and let's see, look at verses 9. Verses 9, look what it says. And be not found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Answers the question, doesn't it? The faith of Christ was the faith of God. He had faith in God, and it was because of his faith in God he was able to go to that cross. And that's where the gospel, that's salvation for us. That was the salvation for us. You see, because that's how we get the boldness, because we are saved by Christ's faith in God. You see, Jesus, or the Son of God, and God are one, and always have been one, and always will be one. And we're going to see that here in just a second. Jesus' faith was totally in God the Father. He never left Christ. He never left him. He was always with him. He was his Son. Even when he was on this earth, God was with him through his Spirit. He couldn't be here physically. If he was, we'd just blow this place away. Did you know that this new earth, the new heaven that we're going to go to eventually, there would be no sun? Just the brightness from God was light up the world. Just from his brightness. His everlasting brightness will light up the whole universe. That's how strong, how wonderful God is. But let's look at John chapter 14. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And let's look at chapter 14. John chapter 14. And let's look at verses. Let's start off with verses 8. This is when he was talking to Philip. And he said, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it will suffice us. And Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Now listen to this real careful. He that has seen me has seen the Father. He's talking to Philip and he says, If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. How sayest then thou show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? You see, they were one, always have been. And the words that I speak unto you, I speak of not myself, but the Father that dwells in me, and he doeth the works. Did you hear what he said? He said that the words that he speaks, that he spoke, they were all of them came directly from the Father, and he doeth the works. In other words, Jesus never healed a soul when he was on this earth. Nope. God did. Jesus didn't tell the oceans or the seas and the winds and everything to be still. God did it. It was God living in Jesus. See, he was the one that did it all. But you see, there was one thing that God can't do, and that is he couldn't die. God couldn't die. And Jesus couldn't have died, or the Son of God, if he hadn't took on a body, a human body, to come on this earth. He couldn't die unless he had a human body. And so what did he do? He was born. He was born of a virgin on this earth. And you say, well, that's stupid. No, it's not stupid. It's the only thing he could do. God had to be the Father of him. The Holy Spirit, God had to be the Father. Because if man was the father, he would have inherited the sin nature, and then he could never have been the perfect sacrifice, because he had sin in him. See, we're born with sin. When we sin, it doesn't make us sinners. You see, we're already sinners. That's why we sin. We're born sinners. It's just the way it is. But see, God wasn't born a sinner, because his father, that passed, his father was God. He was born perfect. And he had to be perfect to pay the sin debt for you and me. Think how wonderful that is, that he did that, and how God put that together. It just blows my mind. But you see, God couldn't die. But so Jesus had to go to the cross. He was the one who had to pay the sin debt for you and me. And he is the one who set up the church, you see. The reason why he couldn't come to us, you see, before the cross. He couldn't come to Gentile people. He couldn't come to them whatsoever. Look in Matthew chapter 10. That's why we can't take the four Gospels and find anything in there virtually for the church, because he wasn't speaking to us. We can learn from it, but there's no salvation in the four Gospels for us. None whatsoever. And I'll show you why. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And look at chapter 10. Matthew, sometimes it takes me longer than I should. I don't know. Getting old. Anyway, Matthew chapter 10, and look at verse 5. This is just after he called the 12 disciples. And these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any of the cities of the Samaritans enter not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Were there any Gentiles in the lost sheep of the house of Israel? What is a Gentile? A Gentile is a person who is not a Jew. Anybody that's not a Jew is a Gentile. And see, he couldn't come to us. He couldn't go to us because, you see, he was here to fulfill the Abrahamic covenant as the Messiah. That's what he came to be, the Messiah. And he couldn't do it. Because he promised Abraham he was only going to come to his seed. Only coming to his seed. And we're not a part of Israel. We're not part of the seed of Abraham. So, and if you look across back to the left in chapter 9, Matthew 9, look at verses 35. It's just the next page before we get to 10. It says, here's what Jesus did. And Jesus went about the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues. Was there any Gentiles in the synagogues? No. No. No, only to the synagogues. And preaching that gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. What's the gospel of the kingdom? The gospel of the kingdom was the gospel that Jesus preached, that he was the Messiah. He was the Messiah. That's the gospel of the kingdom. And that's what he was preaching, the gospel of the kingdom. And if they would have accepted him, he would have set up the kingdom right then and there. He would have. He could have. But they didn't accept him. Did Jesus believe that he shouldn't go to the Gentiles for himself? Sure he did. Look at chapter 15. Look at chapter 15 and look what it said. Look what it said. It says, and behold, a woman, chapter 15, verses 22, it says, and behold, a woman from Canaan came out of the same borders and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a demon." But he answered her not a word. He couldn't talk to her. She was a Gentile. He couldn't go to her. And the disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, she crieth after us." But he answered, and listen to this, he said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." See, he was not sent to us Gentiles. He couldn't deal with us until after the cross. And then he surely did. But then he said, and then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he said unto her, is it not right to take the children's bread, to cast it to the dogs? That's what the Jews thought of Gentiles. We were dogs, and they probably were. But God, Jesus, wasn't speaking to us. He was, during when he walked on this earth, he wasn't dealing with us, and he couldn't. Because you see, if he did, he would have been lying to Abraham. And he can't lie. He can't lie. Because if he did lie, he couldn't have died for our sins. Because he wouldn't have been a perfect sin sacrifice. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. Of course, after he died on that cross, he set the Israel's aside, totally set them aside. They totally rejected him. They killed him. They killed him. So what did he do? He called out Saul of Tarsus to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And he set up a whole new church, and it's called the Body of Christ. And Jesus is the one. Jesus is the one that told us that salvation for the body of Christ was to believe the gospel. And that's all Paul preached. The gospel. The gospel isn't the same as believing in Jesus. If it was the same as believing in Jesus, he had no reason to ever preach the gospel. If your salvation was based just in believing in Jesus, and it's not the same as the gospel. The gospel is what he did. Because it's what he did on that cross that saved our lives. Eternal lives. It's what he did on that cross. He died to pay for your sins. And when he paid for your sins, he gave you the opportunity. If you believed it, he gives you the opportunity. You can stand before God sin free. Because God knows that Jesus paid every sin that you ever committed or ever will commit. And that's the gospel. All he asks you to do is believe it. Do you believe that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead? If you do, you're going to be sealed with the Holy Spirit, and Christ is going to live with you until the day of your redemption, and he's going to point you closer and closer to him each and every day. It's just wonderful what God has done for us. And it's all because the faith of Jesus. The faith that Jesus, he had in God, see. His faith was towards God. But you see, he couldn't have gone on that cross. There's no way if he didn't have total faith in God. Because it just couldn't happen. He could have walked away. But he knew that God would raise him from the dead. And he knew that God would accept his sacrifice for the sacrifice of sin for us. He knew he would accept it. And of course, and then he went ahead and did it. But if he hadn't, we'd still be in our sins. If Christ hadn't died on that cross to pay for our sins, we'd have no hope. No hope whatsoever. And Jesus told us, if we're gonna be able to access this for ourselves, we have to believe the gospel. And all we got to do is believe what he did. We believe that he died on that cross to pay for our sins, and that he was buried and he rose from the dead. And we look what happens after that. Look what happens as soon as you believe the gospel for your salvation. Turn to Ephesians, one of my favorite verses. Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verses. We'll start with verses 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. What's the word of truth? The next word, the gospel. Gospel of what? The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believe. Believe what? The gospel of your salvation. What happened? You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the earnest of our inheritance. What does that mean? We have a tremendous inheritance in heaven. And this is a down payment for our inheritance when you believe the gospel. How long is it to? Until the redemption of the purchased possession. Who's the purchased possession? We are. He purchased our sin. He purchased us out of the sin market. We were sinners. And he purchased us with his death on that cross unto the praise of his glory. You see, we are saved until God takes us home. The redemption means he takes us home. Either he takes us home in our death or in the rapture. We are saved. We are saved, and we are filled with the Spirit. How important is this? How important is being filled with the Holy Spirit? Let me show you. You're not saved if you don't have the Holy Spirit. You just turn to Romans. I can't say that unless I show it to you. Romans chapter 8, verses 9. It says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so that you be, the Spirit dwells in you. Now, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." He is none of his. Think about that. You're lost. You're totally lost if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you. Let's look at this. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. Turn to 2 Corinthians. We go Romans, 1 Corinthians, and 2 Corinthians, chapter 13. This is how important you know to know that you're saved, that you have the Spirit of God. And you can only get the Spirit of God, we just saw that, when you believe the gospel for your salvation, Ephesians 1:13. And we just read in Romans 8 that if you don't have the Spirit, you're not of his. Look what Paul says in chapter 13, verses 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 5. Look what it says. "Examine yourself whether you are in the faith. Prove yourself. Know ye not yourself how Jesus Christ is in you?" Do you examine yourself right now? Do you know that Christ is in you? Do you know that? Has he made you totally change your life? Has he totally changed your life? Has he taken, make you a whole new creature? Whole new person? And old things have passed away and all things become new? Is Jesus walking in your life? Does he talk with you and you talk with him? Do you pray? Is he the first thing in your life? And when you go to bed at night and when you wake up in the morning, you're with him and you know he's with you and allow him to guide and direct you the way you go? You see, the churches of the day, that's what the problem is. They're not saved. The churches of the day don't preach the gospel. They don't preach the gospel. I'm 71 years old, and I've been to church all my life, and I've never heard the gospel preached, and thus I never had the Holy Spirit. Never had it. Never had it. I was faithful as can be. I don't think anybody could have been any more faithful to the churches than I was. And I've been in several different churches, but none of them preached the gospel. And I didn't get the gospel until I heard it from a man by the name of Les Feldick. And he's not a preacher. He is just a plain, he raises cattle for his living. But he's the greatest teacher I've ever heard. And he gave me the gospel. And as soon as I heard that gospel, I believed it. And I went to the Lord and sit in my easy chair. I said, "Lord, I believe the gospel for my salvation. That Christ died for my sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. I believe that." And the second I did that, it wasn't a day later or 2 days later or an hour later. The second he did it, he opened my eyes, and I was looking at the scripture, and I did, 10 hours later, I was still in the scripture. And I could understand everything that I was reading. It was beyond my imagination. Couldn't believe it. You see, I've been trying to study the Bible my whole life, and I could try to start reading the Bible, and I'd read 4 or 5 verses. And then when I got done, I didn't have a clue what I'd read. I have to read it over again and read it over again. I couldn't get anything done. You see, I wasn't saved. I didn't have the Holy Spirit. I was just a natural man. The Bible in 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, the natural man is spiritually discerned. I was. But the second I told Christ I believed the gospel, he opened my eyes and my life has totally changed. Totally changed. And we'll finish this verse. Know you yourselves how Jesus Christ is in you. It says, unless you're discredited. Unless you're discredited. You see, this faith of Christ, the faith of Christ truly is the gospel for salvation for the church. It was his faith that allowed him to go to the cross. It was his faith that allowed that he knew that God would accept his sacrifice to pay the sin debt for the world. He's the one that did it, but it was his faith in God that it gave him the strength to do it. And our faith in Christ and our faith in God now is what we walk with. He lives in us, just like we saw that in Galatians chapter 2:20. You know, Christ lives within me. Jesus lives in you today when you believe the gospel. You see, the churches today aren't saved. They don't believe the gospel for their salvation. That's why the churches are in such trouble. You see, they may have 500 on their rolls, but only 75 show up, and they just show up because they think they have to. You know, I did that my whole life. I just thought that's what I should do. Well, that wasn't salvation. You have to have the Holy Spirit in you, or you're not saved. And most people aren't saved, and they don't even realize it. So it's tremendously important to examine yourself so that you don't become discredited. Tremendously important. Let us pray. Dear Father, we just praise you and thank you so much for that Christ's faith in you gave us an opportunity to have the gospel. And we just praise you for what you have done for us and that you have prepared us to hear the gospel. You've called us and that you open our eyes and open our hearts that we can know the gospel and we can be truly be saved and then be filled with the Spirit of God and that you walk with us from then on. How wonderful. How wonderful. And we're totally know that we're in your hands and nothing can take us out of your hands. We just praise you, Father, for all that you do for us. And I pray to everybody that hears this talk, this teaching, that they would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus through the gospel, because that's the only salvation there is for the church. I pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.